Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, those blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so there should be a brand new one up there tomorrow morning. You can swing by and check that out. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three of those E's.
All right, Dan, you know, as we roll into the final weeks of spring training, the one thing that every team doesn't want to have happen to them happened to the Dodgers last night.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin Turner gets hit on the left wrist, and he has what is described as a non-displaced fracture. Oddly, somebody actually said that he dodged a bullet because he won't need surgery. I don't think you can dodge any bullets when you have a broken wrist. But the recovery time should be shorter. The Dodger general manager, the quote he used said the recovery for this is usually on the order of weeks. So, you know, it's not going to be the surgery where he's going to be out months, but my guess is he's out a minimum of a month, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I would say at least 6 to 8 weeks.
So... But just one of those things. You know, nobody was throwing at anything or anything like that. Kendall Graveman was the ace pitcher who hit him. Dan, I'm not sure if people understand just how big of a loss this is for the Dodgers. He hit .322 with 21 bombs and 71 RBIs, and wasn't he co-MVP against the Cubs in the League Championship Series?
Mm-hmm. No. It's huge. I mean, not only for them, but even for fantasy. That takes a third baseman off the board pretty early.
Yeah. And he would have been one of the first guys off the board, definitely. Obviously you have, your Chris Bryants and, guys who kind of fit into that mold. But Turner is definitely, he's a top five guy now as third baseman, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, I mean, it's a big deal for them.
So, yeah, I guess apparently what I read earlier today, and obviously the Dodgers didn't announce this, the plan is now to bring Chris Taylor in from the outfield and have him play second base, and then Logan Forsythe moves over to third base to fill in for Turner while he's gone. I assume Chase Utley fits in that mix as well somewhere, since he's going to be floating around on the bench there. And I believe your guy Kiki can play a little infield too. So I wouldn't be surprised seeing him get a shot at second or third. The Dodgers have a boatload of outfielders, so moving Taylor in is probably the best option, at least to start for now, and then they can plug it in with whoever or whatever else is going around in the outfield. So, the question always becomes, Dan, how do we have to worry about this lingering? Or, it's his left wrist and he's right-handed, but their lingering effects, could this be something that bothers him until, I don't know, the All-Star break before he's back to being the Justin Turner we're used to now?
I mean, I didn't play baseball long enough to get that far, but I mean, I would think a lot more of the strength and holding the bat would come from the right hand, but, you know, there are those guys who could use the bottom hand to swing. So it's definitely going to be an adjustment for him, and I think it can linger around, you know, if not that long or even the whole season, unfortunately.
So, well, you know, I guess the question becomes, did you move him down your board? You know, how far did he drop as a
I mean,
because I know,
really,
you know, like, lucky,
around,
you know, in our league, you know, we have DL. You can pick him and still put him on the DL, so you will have him. But like in our money league, we don't have a DL, so I've got to figure out how long to wait on him, because obviously he's probably going to sit there for a while. So, you know, at Sunday morning, I'm going to be sitting there going, when the hell's this guy become a value? You know, what's the timetable? I'm hoping they have a better update by then, and, you know, maybe we'll get lucky and Mr. Fantasy and I will get a steal if he lets me pick him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's rough because you're going to be looking for a starting third baseman to start the season. So that's where he's going to drop down maybe past the sixth round. You know, and in any league, would you say he's 10 or later?
You know me. I like to find those guys who play multiple positions. So I might be able to find a guy who plays, you know, third base and something else. Maybe I could get Freddie Freeman, and he could play third base while Turner was out. And then when Turner comes back, I could make Freeman either the first baseman or the utility guy.
Not a bad plan.
No. You know, yeah. Well, and I know Mr. Fantasy likes Freddie Freeman, so that would be something I might actually be able to do. Because exactly how this is going to go this year, don't you, Dan? With me drafting that team, it's no matter what happens, it's on me. So, you know, he's supposed to send me a list of guys he's interested in. So, you know, even if I get those guys and they play bad, it's still going to be on me. So he didn't like my idea of drafting all rookies. I think I told you that one. So I got to come up with another plan.
Well, I mean, first things first, when you get that email, you need to actually save it and not delete it.
I can just commit it to memory. I don't need to. I remember everything you guys emailed.
It has nothing to do with you remembering. It's Mr. Fantasy pretending like he never sent it. There, that way you'll have the actual proof of when you pick his 10 guys that he picked who he wanted.
Well, see, now I have a printer now. I can print it out before I delete it, and I can just show it to him.
Oh, does it work?
Yeah. So, well, it did. I haven't used it. I tested it out, and it worked. Yeah, well, all I needed was paper.
Oh, because that other paper was photo paper. Go figure.
Yeah. I can't tell you how I got the paper, but all it needed was a little paper.
Yeah,
so. it'll be interesting, to see if that's the way the Dodgers, you know, if that's the way the Dodgers work it out and how long this kind of hangs around. You do know that if I pick him or if I end up with him, the injury is going to take longer to recover than it normally would. So.
So you should pick him.
Yeah. If you're rooting against the Dodgers, you want me to end up with Justin Turner, because I will definitely put a quick end to his season, because that's just how things go for me. So.
No, I mean, we've only got a couple of days, and I'm sure everyone's in that boat too, but, you know, I was definitely looking at Turner. Of course, Brian, where does that put Longoria for you now, especially being on the Giants?
Yeah, you know, it's got to kind of slot guys up, you know, as things go. I kind of had my eye on a couple. I don't know if you would call it, you know, in our league, you can't really call them sleepers because the league is so big. But, I kind of had my eye on a couple third basemen that I was willing to wait on and kind of grab later. And, you know, my fear is now that you take a guy like Turner out of the rotation, you know, guys start to go looking. It's kind of like, oh, well, he's out. I need somebody. you know, let me go and prepare and start looking. And then all of a sudden they come upon your guy and it's like, oh crap. They found my guy. How the hell did they, you know, manage to find my guy here? So that's, you know, that's always the fear you run into now. So yeah, it's,
yeah, well, I always have to find your guy and nominate him.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, that's kind of what we like to do. You know, sadly, we won't get to do it to Mr. Fantasy this year. It doesn't look like he's going to be in either league. He still hasn't signed up for the Friday night draft, even though he is, I believe he's available to do that one. He just hasn't joined. So it looks like he's out this year. And, you know, sadly, my guess is he's probably out for good now. He probably won't ever get back in unless I coerce him.
It reminds me of that Homer Simpson meme where he, backs into the hedges and disappears.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Fantasy.
Yeah. So that definitely fits into that. So I thought that was a gift though, not a meme.
Yeah, whatever. I don't see the difference.
So, but yeah, so we'll see. It will be interesting as we get closer and closer to see how this falls out. And, you know, hopefully there's no more injuries. You know, we still got some games to go here. You know, the worst part is, you know, we're drafting a little early this year because of the way the season starts. So, you know, the thing that stinks the worst is draft your team and you're all set, and then the guy gets hurt before the season starts. So,
yeah. I mean, what can you do about it, right?
Yeah, you know, it's the frustration that, you know, fantasy owners deal with. You know, I mean, you know, everybody goes through it. It's just one of those fun things.
Yeah, but it's just like drafting a superstar that ends up not doing well that year. So it's, you know, in those situations, you're like, I wish he was hurt.
Yeah, that's the story of my life. Let's draft a superstar that doesn't do well. You know, I mean, that's how things work. But apparently, Dan, we will finally have to put Alex Cobb on our board as a draftable player, as there are reports that he got a 2-year deal from the Orioles. And the thing that I'm really surprised with here is they don't give a dollar figure, but they say the contract is worth upwards of $50 million. So, now one report says $2 million, but Ken Rosen tweeted out that it's 3 years and $50 million possibly. So we'll have to wait and see how the details kind of shake out. But either way, man, I got to tell you, if they went 2 years, they drastically overpaid. Even if they went 3 years, they overpaid for it. You know, I know the Orioles were definitely pitching, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah, but with 3 years, I would assume that there's a $5 million incentive towards his Cy Young voting. So if he doesn't reach that, he'll miss out on it 3 years in a row. And that doesn't necessarily mean he has to win the Cy Young, but he has to reach a certain level, you know, be it the 10th spotter, 10 to 5. So I'm going to throw that out there. I mean, obviously, we don't know. I don't know. But I'm going to assume that's in there. So if they do 2 years, it's going to probably most likely going to be like $20 million with maybe $2, $5 million incentives. Or it could even, you know, possibly be $15 million a year with, you know, let's say $5 million for a what would you say, 12 to 8th spot with Cy Young with a $5 million incentive, and then if he reaches above that, he gets another 5. But, you know, I don't think that would be in it, but, you know, the incentives, I think, are going to be a part of that.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll definitely have to see how the terms of the contract shake out, you know, things go, so... Yeah, I just, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, you know, I mean, I know they've been scuffling for pitching. I mean, obviously they have, you know, Dylan Bundy and Kevin Gausman at the top of the rotation. They're not much after that. So we'll, you know, we'll have to see how it, you know, how it shakes out. For some reason I was thinking they signed Andrew Cashner, right? So
yeah. Well, I was gonna say I like those guys, but you know, let's just mix it up with the Cubs or the Dodgers. They wouldn't be ones and twos.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't be, well, maybe two depending on the team, but none of them, I don't think is a start number one starter on any other team. You know, they did bring Chris Kilman back, but he was terrible for them last year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Cobb gives them at least a solid guy once he's ready. They can pencil into the middle of the rotation, but you know, it's an odd signing for a team that, you know, when you look at it, I mean, they're in a really top heavy division, and I don't think this signing makes them a contender.
Not really, unless they can try to steal that second wild card from the West Coast.
So yeah, I don't know if I, you know, honestly think they could actually do that, but you know, I guess it is possible. I mean, we've seen stranger things happen. You know, they're going to need Mark Trumbo to recover quickly from, you know, his injury. He's out, I think, till May. I believe it's about mid-May. So, you know, he's going to have to get rolling right away. But yeah, I, you know, again, a little surprised. I mean, you know, I know a lot of teams have checked in and nobody wanted to come up with the money, but apparently, you know, the Orioles did, and you know, now Cobb has got a home to go out and win, you know, 12 games and get overpaid for it.
Does he go to extended spring training then?
Yeah, what do you do with him? I mean, he's got to go, right? I mean, there's only, you know, what, a week left? So, you know, he's going to have to go and throw. I mean, I know they're going to tell you, you know, I guarantee you, you're going to hear, well, you know, he's been working out, and, you know, you're going to hear all that crap. But working out and facing hitters in game situations are two different things. So, yeah, you figure he's probably, hell, he's probably three weeks, four weeks away from even being ready to pitch. You know, and then when he comes back, you're only going to get probably five innings out of him his first, you know, probably four or five starts, maybe the whole year with him. It's not like the guy goes deep in games anyways. So,
well, I mean, you can try to plan it so that he's going up against a team like the Rays.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they'll kind of pick and choose when he, you know, when he makes that first start to give him, you know, a little confidence. But, you know, even against teams like that, I mean, you know, they're going to have guys who can hit. You know, I mean, it may not be murderer's row like we're looking at, you know, some of the teams, but, you know, I mean, they're going to get offense out of somebody. You know, and imagine how bad it would be if you got lit up by the Rays.
Yeah, well, in the third week, that's April 17th through the 19th, they've got Detroit, or they're in Detroit, and then the following Tuesday through Thursday, the 24th through 26th, oddly, they're up against the Rays, and then that weekend is Detroit at home. So, you know, it might not be a bad thing because they do open the season on the 29th against Minnesota. They head to Houston. They come back to New York. Then they come home for a series with Toronto. Head to Boston, go to Detroit, and then come back home for a Cleveland, Tampa, Detroit series.
So yeah, you know, we'll have to, you know, have to keep track of it, see how long it is before they, you know, decide going to make his appearance. But you know, finally, you know, he was the last, I guess, name guy you would call still kind of hanging out there, right? I mean, they're all done now. They're all gone.
But yeah, where did Lance Lynn sign again? I forgot.
Minnesota.
It was Minnesota, yeah.
So, and Jake Arrieta signed with the Phillies.
Wow, how could you forget that one?
But speaking of former Cubs, I saw this one today, too. Your guy Brett Anderson has re-signed with the Oakland A's, where he started out on a minor league deal. So in the last 2 days, the A's have brought back Trevor Cahill and Brett Anderson. They know it's 2018, Dan, right? Not like 2012?
Is that like a one-day retirement contract? Is that how it goes?
Yeah, it doesn't say it's a one-day deal. I guess they're actually planning on taking a look at him. I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something there. So
it's Moneyball. That's how it works.
Yeah. You know, could be something.
You just gotta say Moneyball, and everyone goes, "Oh, okay, that'll work."
So, yeah, you know, we will, you know, again, we'll see. I don't really expect much out of Brett Anderson with the Cubs for a very short period of time. Always kind of, you know, makes it humorous. And then I love that, you know, Baseball Reference still has him in his Cub head. So, you know, hey, he did, you know, he made 6 starts for the Cubs last year. He had an ERA over 8.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, and people say Edwin Jackson was bad. It is. But yeah, you know, so, you know, we'll see what he can do. I hated the signing when they made it. I didn't understand what they were doing, and it sure as heck didn't work out. So.
No, it worked out about as great as the Joe Mason signing. I mean, why didn't they sign Jamie Moyer?
Yeah. and then, you know, as we're building here, you know, we were talking about, you know, prospects, some of the young guys and the rookies. The Nationals have decided to option Victor Robles to AAA. It was really kind of looking like, you know, he would end up being a starter this year, but, you know, they're going to go with Bryce Harper, Adam Eaton, and Michael Taylor. So, you know, Robles goes back to AAA for the start of the year. It could be the arbitration grab. You know, you never know how those things work out. But, you know, we'll see how long he's gone and how things go. But, he was a guy I was actually looking at as a later pick. You know, wondered if it was possible to kind of grab onto him.
Well, you can hold on to him for later, right?
Yeah, you know, we do have, you know, the NA spot if you wanted to grab them. You know, that's always possible. But, you know, it we'll have to see if that's, you know, what they want to do. You know, if they even bring them up. Yeah, you know, then I was looking here. They didn't really say much about it, but, you know, I saw Dansby Swanson's name pop up. You remember, Dan, I believe he might have been my rookie of the year pick last year, so that'll tell you how his season went.
Yeah.
He ended up back in AAA. Not having a great spring training, he's hitting .238. He does have a couple bombs and a triple, over 42 at-bats. He was the number one pick, and, you know, the Diamondbacks really ate it for trading him like they did. As of right now, the worst part about that fact for the deal with the Diamondbacks is that Shelby Miller sucked. Not so much what they gave up, because none of the guys they gave up have worked out. You got Swanson making the team opening day here, Dan, or is he headed back to AAA with this paltry average?
Do they even have a shortstop?
They have Johan Camargo. No, not anymore. They have Johan Camargo who took over the position when Swanson went back to the minors. So,
I guess it would depend on how many options he has, but I think maybe he starts down in AAA again.
Yeah, and then oddly, looking at the deal, the Braves gave up Gabe Spire, who's a middle reliever, and Shelby Miller, who was coming off a really good year. The Braves got Swanson, Aaron Blair, and oddly, the best guy the Braves got in that deal, Dan, Ender Enciarte.
Well, that worked out for him subtly. I mean, Aaron Blair was supposed to be a lights out, knockout pitcher. And I think he was. He got his lights knocked out, right?
Yeah, well, he only made it back to the majors for one game last year. The year before that, in 2016, he made 15 starts for the Braves, was 2-7 with 7.59 ERA.
I remember having him.
Yeah, so I remember the big thing about him. You know, the weird thing is he's supposed to be a big strikeout pitcher. That was the thing. In 73 career innings, he has 49 strikeouts. So, like, his strikeouts per nine innings are only six. That's incredibly low for a strikeout guy. And oddly, his walks per nine innings are 4.8. So he's just walking way too many guys. And, you know, you can't do that in the major leagues. You know, you can get away with it in the minors because you can blow people away. But, you know, at the major level, it doesn't work. You know, I know he's only 25, so he's got time to work things out. And, well, actually, he'll be 26 here next month. So, you know, there's plenty of time for him to kind of get the ship righted and get his career going as a pitcher. But, yeah, it's just humorous looking back at that deal that Enciarte is the guy who really made it a steal for the Braves. I mean, he's been fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you always have to give up something to get something. And I mean, I really thought, especially in the day and age, and, you know, I wish you remembered who could stick their foot in their mouth now for the trade and how it was just the worst thing that the Diamondbacks could ever do in the entire history of baseball. But, you know, in such a prospect heavy world, I'm surprised Ender was included in that deal to begin with. And I think he still could have been, he still could have worked out well in Arizona.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem there was they had too many outfielders, you know, so he was just the guy, you know, and at the time he was traded, he wasn't looked at as a full-time player. You know, everybody really thought he was just going to be a platoon guy. So going to Atlanta really helped him make his career. I don't know if he's the player he is today if he would have stayed with Arizona.
Probably not. Especially not after last year with J.D. Martinez and then having A.J. Pollock.
Yeah.
I forget who plays left field there. But
David Peralta.
Yeah, how could I forget?
You know, I get it. Yeah.
Not got the time.
You know, the trade is, you know, obviously still a huge favor for the Braves just because Miller's been a complete boss. You know, he's made 24 starts with the Diamondbacks, only made four last year due to injury. I believe he's still recovering from Tommy John. So he's not due to even probably be back with the team until after the All-Star break. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, you know, he's still a young guy as well. He's just 27. So, you know, there's still a chance they could get something out of, you know, a lot of these guys in this trade. I just find it humorous that, you know, everybody, like you said, was just killing the Diamondbacks for making this trade and what they gave up. And, you know, it's like, oh, you don't give up prospects. Oh, God, you gave up these two prospects. And it's the guy who had been in the majors with him that's been the best one, not all, everybody.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that was one of the things that was a kicker, too, because like we've talked about before in our fantasy league, we have about, you know, every year it seems like we have which, you know, I like that you instituted the five and out rule, which I don't know if you guys, well, I think you can only have that in a 20-team league, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't have a league in a 12. But,
yeah,
you know, aside from sometimes a lot of the bottom teams, the four or five, that, and I guess it's the guys that don't make the draft, but a majority of the players in our league know baseball, and it was, you know, I was looking at Inciarte as one of my guys, and I wasn't able to get him anymore. You know, I thought he was going to be one of those guys that got sneak chance.
Yeah, you know he's going to go early this year. Yeah, you know, after the year he's had, you know, somebody, you know, I get it. You know, he's not a power guy, but, you know, he fills up the other categories for you. So, you know, I mean, if, you know, the Braves, that offense ever gets going with him at the top of it, he'll score some runs.
Yeah.
You know, he can feel this, and, you know, it's, yeah, you know, it's definitely a, you know, he's definitely a plus. You know, I will miss the fact that I believe he's only going to qualify at, you know, probably one outfield position this year. You know, he used to be, he used to qualify at all of them.
Out of three.
So, yeah, but, now, you know, I know we've
talked a little bit about this before, but what is the reasoning behind, you know, in your, the Money League, where you guys do just outfield versus position specific? Say that five times fast.
You know, it's never been explained to me. So, you know, I meant from your point of view.
Why do you, you know, I'm just curious, why do you prefer it over just the outfield? Is it, you know, because of the strategy? Do you have a better opportunity to land guys, or does it just open up, you know, does it open up the game more for you, or, you know, because obviously I've only played with position-specific outfield, so I don't really know the other half of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, for me, I mean, I've always liked it, you know, because you actually kind of have to think about putting a team together. You know, you just can't go get, you know, three home run hitting outfielders. Well, maybe you can in today's game because everybody hits home run. But, you know, I mean, just, you know, you just basically, you know, like if you're, you know, like in the Money League, nobody ever ends up with like a real outfield that you would play in an actual game, because you want all the corner guys, because, you know, that's where a lot of the power is. And, you know, with the exception, well, now, you know, you got too many idiots who hit guys second. So they do lack in RBIs now. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, I enjoy it more. I think it's a little more difficult to put a team together when you've got to kind of look, you know, at your team and go, oh, okay, I've got to, you know, juggle this or juggle that. You know, like I think, you know, last year in the auction league, I ended up with two guys who just exclusively played center field. So I had to do a lot of juggling there during the year to make sure I was getting the optimal lineup. And then, of course, being me, one of them got hurt and, you know, missed most of the year. So that made it a little easier for me. But, yeah, you know, you've got to kind of work on things like that. I mean, in the Money League, it's like, oh, yeah, let's just grab an outfielder. I mean, like, we had guys sit, you know, with the exception of, you know, the Mike Trouts and the Bryce Harpers, you know, and the guys you're going to see like that, these guys will sit way, way past where they're going to go. You know, I know Mr. Fantasy and I last year ended up with Andrew Benintendi and then A.J. Pollock, and we waited. Pollock sat at the top of the draft board for probably 10 to 12 rounds before Mr. Fantasy and I decided that he was good enough to take at this point, that he was the best player available. And he was at the top of the ranking draft board on the website, and a lot of guys go by that when they're drafting. So, you know, and this is a 15-team league, so he was passed over about 150 times. before we decided to take him off the board. And that was just when he got to the top. You know, before then, you had to get down to his ranking. Now, we took Benintendi a little earlier than that. He only sat on the top of the board probably five or maybe six rounds before we decided we needed to grab him. But, yeah, it's the oddest thing. You know, pitching is a big focus in this league. It's really one with pitching, you know, because kind of the way the points are based. Well, actually, I should say not so much pitching, but starting pitching. You know, if you can go out and you get your starting pitchers and they produce for you. Like last year, we had Clayton Kershaw, and we were rolling until he got hurt. And then, you know, just when he got hurt, our guys behind them, while they produced, and while they produced averagely with Kershaw, that won for you. Once you take Clayton Kershaw away from that, well, then you've got an average group of pitchers that you need fantastic outing out of one of them to get a win, and we just weren't getting that. You know, and then by the time Kershaw got back, it was too late for us to get back into the playoff race. And, yeah, it's just an odd league, and it's so much different than ours that, like, this year I actually like the fact normally the Money League drafts before our league does. And that can kind of screw me up going into our league because the player values are so much different. So I like the fact that this year, you know, it's going to be after ours. Like we have Dan and I have a draft Friday and then Saturday night. Our Money League draft is Sunday morning. So I'll have our two leagues wrapped up and out of the way, which are very similar player ranking wise than the Money League is. It's really totally different. So I'm hoping that provides me some help, and makes it a little better. Last year, we'd had a few good years in a row, but last year we had a bit of a down year. So I would like to bounce back. I'm very disappointed that Mr. Fantasy and I haven't found a way to win one of their leagues yet. But like the one year, I think we had the second best team in the league and we got knocked out in the first part round of the playoffs. We got upset. And again, it's just one of those things. I mean, I think I'm trying to remember when I won. I don't remember if it was the baseball or the football league. I was like the last team to get in the playoffs, and then my team got hot. And that's one of those things you need. You know, that's the weird thing about fantasy. So, you know, you've got to kind of see how these things go or how it plays out. But, it makes it fun. You know, or at least I think it makes it fun. So, I'm hoping it makes it fun. Sometimes I wonder, it can get, you do have your frustrating moments and everything. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with there's actual money on the line here. You know, the Yahoo League, the leagues were in their, bragging rights and all that other fun stuff. So, that's not so bad, but. This league, we actually have money on the line, and it would be really nice to win some for a change. But, we'll see.
Next year, I'm going to try to get the trophy going. Well, sure you didn't hear me. Next year, I'm going to try to get the trophy league going, as I failed to do so this year.
Yay, trophies. So, yeah, it's, that wonderful, stuff about baseball and the season and everything else that goes with it, right?
Exactly. Only a couple more days.
Yeah, I'm excited to get going. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for the, spring training to be over and the games to start and, us to get our drafts in. It's that time of year. So,
yeah, because can't really get into the spring training games.
No, I really try. It just, it gets to that point where, like I said, when the regulars are in, you know, I'm okay. I can deal with it. But then, you know, a lot of times, you know, they're facing a guy who, you know, is going to be driving for Uber here in a week. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, because I think even like today, you know, it's the second day in a row that the White Sox are lighting the scoreboard up. I think they're in double digits again, but they're facing guys that they're not going to see in the regular season. So, you know, while, hey, it's neat and it's fun, you know, you get to see some of the young prospects tee off, they're not doing it against anybody who really matters here. So, you know, I don't know how you rate it, you know, how do you link it? So,
no, and I noticed that a lot of the broadcasts, unless they're Yankee home games, if you try to go on the app or on the internet, most of them are radio broadcasts. So, you know, not even all of them are really that televised. But, yeah, which, I mean, you can't really blame them, you know, because like I said, if it was a television broadcast, I might not have watched it anyways, if it's, you know, the third inning or later.
Yeah, well, you know, there are very few televised spring training games, aren't there? I mean, how many teams I know, you know, like I know locally here, the Cubs do a few here and there, but yeah, how many teams actually televised?
No, and, you know, I was lucky enough to get to see a back-to-back-to-back but with Judge, Giancarlo, and Sanchez, but it was not the three home runs. And then actually the Cubs did a couple, you know, primetime games that were televised oddly on WGN.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to remember.
For the network who couldn't wait to get away from them, now they can't wait to have their game. I don't understand.
No, well, you know, and then oddly, you know, like you said, they couldn't wait to get away from on the radio either. Now they're bringing the White Sox back. So.
Yeah.
You know,
baseball doesn't do ratings. It's no good for our station. Yeah. So then 3 years later, we're going to bring the South Side on. It's just new management, right? It's probably what happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know how that, you know, that is. You change, you know, a program director or somebody else comes in and, you know, they look at something a little differently than the person before. That's probably why they got the job. And, you know, that's how it goes. So, but, you know, Dan, I realized that if you, well, me more than you, were probably a lot younger, there's an opportunity for us to play professional football. And I know you're thinking I'm completely nuts, aren't you?
Hmm.
Well, what you've got to realize now, Dan, is we know that Vince McMahon has announced that he is going to bring the XFL back in 2020. All right. There's also the what were they calling that league? Let me see if I can find the name here. You know, they're having that summer league, and I'm drawing a blank on the name. I can't find it off the top of my head. That's going to kick off, I believe. I actually think it's this year that they're going to kick off. And then it was announced either today or yesterday by Charlie Ebersol. And now if you're a really big-time sports fan, you may remember the Ebersol last name. His father was actually an original partner in the XFL, and he was also a big-time producer and stuff for just all the different networks. You know, he's produced Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. Well, he has announced the formation of the American Alliance of Football. They already have a debut day, Dan. They will debut February 9th of 2019. That's 1 week after the Super Bowl. The league will have 8 50-man teams consisting of players who didn't make the NFL cut, and it will run for 10 weeks.
Oh, wow.
In the span of, 2 years here, Dan, we're going to have three more football leagues. Now, the, as I'd like to call, the AAF has not announced the cities where these teams are going to be yet. Apparently, that's going to come over the next 3 months. But working with this league and in on this league, Ebersol is using Bill Polian, who's a former Colts general manager and works for the Mickey Mouse Network. He's also bringing in Troy Polamalu, J.K. McKay, who was had a small career in the NFL as a wide receiver, but his father is John McKay, if you go back, is a historic college football coach at the University of Southern California. Then he's also bringing in Hines Ward and Justin Tuck as what they're kind of using as advisors. So, you know, it's got a lot of name value when you look at it. Financially here, Jared Allen is going to be one of the financial backers, along with Peter Thiel's Founders Fund, something called the Sharon Group, which apparently owns a huge portion of Barstool Sports.
I don't know. Like a podcast, right? Or
I believe so. It's a podcast or a network or something like that. I know I follow one of the people who work from there on Twitter because she's from Chicago. So, but I've heard their name pop up more and more. But I don't know, you know, too much about them. Like, even, you know, their Wikipedia page describes it as a satirical sports and men's lifestyle blog. But, yeah, apparently here they offer gambling advertisements and fantasy sports projections.
Oh, what the fans really want.
Yeah. So, you know, it looks like, we're going to have three new football leagues in just a matter of, you know, years here. And, you know, if Mark Cuban ever gets his idea off the ground, we're going to have four.
And it'll be mandatory that they all stand during the national anthem, I bet you.
Yeah. God, I hope so. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh. So.
And feel a little bit more of a smart ass, do you think one of them picks up Papa John's as a sponsor?
Do you think he would go for that again? Because you got to think Vince already contacted him, right?
Yeah. Well, I just throwing that out. I don't know. Kind of stupid, but you know, in light of that, the one by my house closed shortly after football season was over, so. I don't know what that means or if that means anything. It didn't mean that that's disappointing.
you would think that, Vince McMahon would sign Papa John's as a sponsor and then have Papa John beat up a Roger Goodell lookalike, right?
Yes, and that would have been the original XFL. I don't think this XFL is going to hold little things like that.
That's probably why I'm not going to watch it then, Dan. All right.
Because you want the locker room drama, right?
Yes. You know, just tell me, are they still going to, are they still going to have nicknames on jerseys? I haven't heard that yet.
I'm not sure that they will. We'll have to keep our eye out.
So, yeah, you know, like the one football league, I believe the one that's supposed to open this summer is, I believe it's going to be played exclusively on the West Coast.
California?
Yeah, and I believe it's going to be, they're literally going to try to run it like a, you know, like a feeder system, like a minor league feeder system for the NFL. I don't know how well that would work. work, but you know, yeah, their plan is to know, you know, use young players with no professional experience, and you know, we'll have to see. Yeah, here it is, Pacific Pro League to debut in the summer of 2018. Yeah, they describe it as for non-NFL. Yeah, non-NFL eligible players to debut is what they describe it as. Yeah, here you go, Dan. For players who have graduated from high school but aren't in college, and haven't been out for 3 years, in order to make themselves eligible for the NFL, it's only going to be four teams based in Southern California. 50 guys per team, and they're going to play 8 games. So, the average player salary, Dan, they'll make about $50,000 for those 8 games.
That's not bad.
So,
as long as they don't have to pay for their travel and board.
Yeah. So, well, you know, you figure if it's all in Southern California, you know, it couldn't be too bad. But yeah, so we'll have to see. I haven't seen if anybody's televising this or, you know, when. I don't even think I saw a start date for it. So, you know, there's going to be some, you know, some issues, you know, once it gets up and running. But, you know, we'll just kind of have to wait and see. I mean, do you, I don't know, do you see any of these, leagues taken off?
Well, I don't, you know, the summer league, I don't think is meant to take off. You know, we might not even see any kind of television. It might be, you know, internet based, and maybe they'll have a couple local contracts over the summer with local affiliates, wherever they're stationed. But I think the battle is going to be between Ebersol and McMahon, and you've got to imagine that McMahon came out and did this, so Ebersol was like, huh, well, if he could do it, I could do it. I'm going to, you know, live out my dad's legacy.
Yeah, well, you know, you wonder if maybe, do you think there's a little bitterness because McMahon didn't ask Ebersol in on the new XFL?
Probably. I mean, but for me, I think the thing was, with Ebersol, they, you know, let's not forget, he kind of put the WWE into what it is today, as far as, you know, the grand ceremony, the, you know, the entrances, and, you know, kind of the big stage effects as it is now, where you remember back in the 80s, you know, if a guy had a song, that was one thing in itself, but there was no stages, or, you know, almost like a rock concert, so to speak. So he really brought that in. But, you know, even with Ebersol's help, you know, Saturday Night Main Event never seemed to be a mainstay on NBC or on Saturday night to begin with. And, you know, even with his help with the XFL and, you know, going through NBC, it didn't really work out. And I think it was because the things were glued to NBC and not really so much as a WWE product. So I think the independents might work better for them. They might have maybe a slightly better chance of taking off. You know, I don't know, but, you know, maybe the WWE subscribers will get it for free.
Yeah, you know, that would be interesting if it becomes part of the you know, part of the WWE package there.
You know, and if Brock Lesnar was 10 years younger, would he be playing football there?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think, you know, do they have any crossover guys? You know, I think most of the guys who would are probably a little too old now. But yeah. So, yeah, that would be, you know, that would be fun to see how that would work out if, you know, you get John Cena or, you know, some of the other bigger guys out there.
Yeah, sadly, I don't see Cena as a football player.
No, well, you know, like, you know, a lot of those guys were before they, you know, they got into the, you know, the business, you know, like Steve Austin played in college. You know, I'm sure there were probably a, you know, a few more, you know, probably a few more guys there now that played. That's just kind of, you know, kind of how it goes. But yeah, I just found it weird that, you know, all of a sudden we have, you know, football leagues popping up all over the place. So.
I'll be interested if Chicago gets another team out of one of these two leagues.
Yeah, you know, you got to figure, you know, now, you know, if you're thinking about it, I mean, if you're, do you want bigger markets that have teams, or do you, maybe you want to go, you know, would you try to go into like college towns where football is hot? You know, what do you think would be a solid plan here, or something you might do?
I think going with the bigger markets might work. I think you need a mix, but I do think it would actually be harder to go into a big college market, i.e., you know, the Alabama, that kind of stuff. I think they would actually have more trouble getting into those markets.
Yeah, because, you know, I always wondered how that worked, you know, and the only team that's ever done anything like that, and it wasn't football, it was basketball, was, you know, Oklahoma City. You know, and that's worked out well there, but I think it's just the fact that it's the only game in town. You know, it's not like there's a whole lot of other options. I always wondered if you could go into, you know, a Birmingham or, you know, maybe, you know, one of the cities outside Atlanta with a, you know, a team, you know, down south, or Texas, you know, where football is just king. And, it, you know, if you could go in there and establish something. But, yeah, who knows? You know, but, yeah,
well,
I'll be interested to see where the teams were coming, you know, end up being placed.
Yeah, well, I think a good market for them, for either one of them, I don't know if it'd be good or not, but St. Louis might be a good spot for one of those teams to land. You know, you've got your Southern Illinois people, and, you know, St. Louis has kind of been on the outs with football, over, you know, especially the NFL over the past 10 years.
Well, you know, I don't know. Could they go to a market like Cleveland that doesn't have an NFL team?
You know, and I think one of the reasons it would work in St. Louis is, you know, if it starts, you know, like with the AAF, as you proclaimed, you know, their season would start right after the NFL started, and it would be too soon for them to truly overlap with Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, you know, you figure, yeah, they're only playing, what was it, 10 games. You know, there would be the overlap with, you know, with the NFL, with the baseball. All right, well, Dan and I are going to head out for the day, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there and look for the new blog tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget about the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Dan and I are also on Twitter. You can look us up there if you'd like. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at TuneIn.com.